Let's go to the Revolution Hotline.
Bertelli, BleacherReport.com. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm loving the Karate Kid bumper music. That's some high-quality stuff.
You got to get that on the iPod. I'm telling you, when you are at the end of a workout and you're dragging a little bit and you just can't quite get that last set in, that song will put you over the hump.
You didn't realize it, Barrett, but Justin's about to sweep your leg.
Nice. Sweep the leg, Johnny. No, that actually is already in my iPod. And actually, for the four times that I've worked out this year, it actually is on my workout mix.
That's three more than I've done lately, so that's good. Get him a body bag, Johnny. Yep. Okay, so we've actually, there are other publications that have been really, really busy, and I don't know what they're doing over there, but all they're doing apparently is football stuff. But what's on your mind college football related and SEC related this time of year?
Just getting ready for the season and getting ready for, media days, starting to crank out preview predictions. We were in Athens actually all week last week shooting our video previews for all 25 of our top 25 teams and did a whole bunch of roundtable discussions on Heisman, dark horses, coaches on the hot seat, all that stuff. So it's around the corner. I mean, this time 3 weeks from now we'll be in Hoover for SEC media days. So that's the unofficial start of the season, and I guess most players just have to make it through, don't get into trouble between now and then, and once fall camp starts, we'll be off and running.
Yes, try to not follow in Aaron Hernandez's footsteps. So
well, that's general rule for pretty much everybody. That's generally a good guideline to live by.
I did read a story this morning, Barrett. I don't know if you've seen anything or there's been any talk about this in your circles, but that there may be some revamping of the SEC drug policy as far as the way it's reported and maybe the, the strictness with which it is enforced, because Aaron Hernandez is, for some people, a poster child of being able to skirt the drug issue. And there was a story, and I guess even he admitted that there were multiple issues with marijuana during his career at Florida, and some of that apparently there was a blind eye turned to it. Now, I'm not saying that smoking a bunch of weed leads to killing other people, although my producer did joke that was a gateway drug to murder. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But any talk about that?
There are some inconsistencies in how drug testing is reported and obviously how penalties are enacted. So, does that happen everywhere? Do kids smoke weed and skirt the rules? Yeah, I would imagine that happens everywhere. I know it happens everywhere. When you fail drug tests, you should fall under the guidelines set forth by the university. And if Aaron Hernandez didn't, then Urban Meyer probably has some explaining to do. But the uniform drug policy is interesting, because I think the SEC would probably be a really good testing ground to see if you can get something like that enacted.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for the most part, the laws for all the states are generally the same for marijuana. If you go to the Pac-12, Washington and Colorado may have some serious issues with that now, in California to a lesser extent. So
yeah.
I think it certainly needs to be addressed, because I wrote an article a while back. Georgia sort of gets a bad rep for its lack of control of its players, so to speak. But in reality, they're doing the most for their players that they can possibly do. Their drug testing policy and punishment is the strictest in the SEC. So I think it needs to be done, because the playing field needs to be even. And unfortunately, it's not right now. And it's going to be tricky to actually level it, because with different state laws, it's going to be there will be some wrangling, there's no doubt about it.
You may find this terribly difficult to believe, Bear, but I'm not an attorney. So I do have to wonder out loud, though, whether or not, or whether there'd be any issues with enforcing an NCAA rule that is in violation of a state law. So if it's legal to smoke marijuana in Colorado, like you mentioned, and the NCAA is still illegal by NCAA standards, I'm curious to see how they will deal with that, if there's an issue that comes up with that.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer either, but I would imagine the ACLU would have some issues with that. The NCAA said when those laws passed last election season that the NCAA rules still apply. I think all it takes is one person to challenge that, and probably would no longer apply. So I'm no lawyer either, but I would imagine that they'd have a hard time really, really justifying saying it's illegal in the NCAA, but legal in your state, actually getting away with it.
Every time Barrett Salee joining us, by the way, BleacherReport.com on the Revolution Hotline. Every time a PGA tournament comes up that Tiger Woods is playing in, it's always Tiger or the field. And don't pick Tiger this week, because he's not playing in his own tournament at Congressional. But that will be a question that will be asked for a lot of people when it comes to the Heisman, when talking about Johnny Manziel. So you take Manziel or you take the field?
Oh, I think the field. There's no doubt about it.
What about Manziel or the SEC field?
I still think the SEC field because Clowney's going to win.
You think so?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
really,
the longest of odds. What does he have to do? Okay, let me ask you this. What does Jadeveon Clowney's season look like to lead to a Heisman?
The exact same stats from a year ago, plus a scoop and score or a pick six on a screen pass or something like that. He could put together the exact same season he did last year and impact the scoreboard just once, and I think that would be enough because the PR machine that he's gotten from that one hit on Vincent Smith is huge. I mean, that played on SportsCenter, I think, like 700 times in like a two-week period or something, just something insane. That's huge. And, you know, he had not a record-setting season, but a All-American caliber season last year. And if he, you know, makes one big play that makes an impact on the scoreboard itself, I think that really is all he needs to get pushed over the top. I mean, he finished sixth last year.
Yeah.
And that was sort of as a dark horse, and he's not a dark horse anymore.
Okay, so if Manziel does exactly what he did last year, does he get it again, or does he have to do more?
No, he's going to have to win the World Series, the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, and about everything else to win the Heisman again. It's, you know, it's not fair, but he is held to a different standard just because he is the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. And then on top of all that, you throw on, you know, the people that just view him negatively based on all the offseason stuff and are going to hold him to an even higher standard because they don't feel like he's the best kid in the world. You know, he's going to have to do a lot more than he did last year to win. And that's incredibly unfair because he put up video game numbers last year.
Well, to quote the Karate Kid song, he's the best around. Nothing's ever going to keep him down.
That's right.
Okay, so by that rationale, then Jadeveon Clowney has to one-up himself a little bit maybe to win the Heisman. So that means he'll have to hit somebody really hard, and when that helmet comes off, there will have to be a head inside of it.
Well, after that Vincent hit Smith, that's not that outside of the realm of possibility.
No, and if they do that, if he actually decapitates a guy on a legal hit, do they stop the game right then and bring the Heisman out to him at midfield?
Traveling probably. Heisman?
Yeah.
Just end the season right now. Just say it's over. Just throw in the towel. That wouldn't happen, but it probably should happen.
I think so, too. What about impact freshmen? I have seen Alex Collins' name mentioned in a favorable light by multiple publications over the last few weeks. You know, again, he's fighting that uphill battle, as we were talking about, with whether it's Heisman or All-American or All-SEC guys, and that Arkansas is not expected to have a ton of success on the field. What are your expectations for him?
You know, I sort of think that he's going to be sort of in the same mold as Michael Dyer in 2010 for Auburn. You know, he'd start out sort of as a, not necessarily a role player, but get, you know, sort of ease him into the lineup. Jonathan Williams is a good running back, and I think Alex Collins will probably be best served to start out as a true backup and learn the pass blocking schemes. That's the biggest thing with these freshman running backs is can they pick up pass blocking schemes? And then as the year progresses, they'll you know, slowly but surely feed him more carries, and by the end of the season, probably a, you know, true dual starting running back situation in Arkansas with Jonathan Williams. I think that's what they need him to do. I think that's what Brett Bielema would like him to do. And if he doesn't, that either means he's just overly impressive and just the greatest things in sliced bread this fall, or something terribly went wrong and Jonathan Williams just didn't get the job done.
You mentioned coaches on the hot seat earlier. Who are they this year?
In the SEC, it's Pinkel, and that's pretty much it. And you know, you saw the win totals come out from a couple of sports books. Missouri at 5.5 wins. I mean, if they go under that, and even if they go over that by a half, that's bad news for Gary Pinkel. And you know, other than that, there's really no one in the SEC. We've talked about this before. I think Dan Mullen should be. He's been completely unimpressive in Starkville. He's done a lot to impact the floor, but nothing to really impact the ceiling. 5-21 against FBS opponents that win 8 or more games in a season. He doesn't have a signature win. He's got a tough schedule this year, at least not tougher than last year's, which really isn't saying a whole lot. So, you know, I'm not saying that he should be fired or that he will be fired if they go 6-6. But if they do go 6-6, he probably should be fired. If I was running things,
you should be, in my opinion. I'm with it. I'm curious to see. And the thing about Missouri is, and I don't know how many of our listeners have spent time in Columbia, it's a great college town, and obviously they're in the Premier League in college football. What do you think that job looks like to a guy on the outside?
An SEC job. And so I think by that rationale, it's a good job.
Better or worse than Kentucky?
Worse than Kentucky.
Better? Because, really?
Yeah, well, Kentucky's got Ohio to poach from, and that's why Kentucky's been so great recruiting this year, and Missouri really doesn't have that.
What about St. Louis and Kansas City? Not good enough?
Not good enough.
Okay.
Overrated high school areas, if you ask me.
I don't even know that they're rated. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking maybe you could pull in an occasional Midwest kid because of the, you know, geographic positioning of Missouri.
Well, they could, but, you know, they made their bones in Texas, and now Texas A&M can sell the SEC, and you know, when you're fighting that battle, I just don't know how you can win it if you're Gary Finkel.
That's a good point. Maybe you could own Wyoming and Montana, get all the great recruits out of there.
It'd start a new dynasty.
Okay, so what about Vanderbilt? Worst job, better job?
Than Missouri, I would say it's a better job. I would say it's a better job.
Is that the only place it's a better job then?
In the SEC, yeah.
Okay.
I would imagine. Yeah, because Vanderbilt, it's a good city. It's a big market. You can be unique. You know, Missouri is not really selling anything that any other SEC program can't sell. Vanderbilt does. Vanderbilt can sell a degree from Vanderbilt, which is huge. And, you know, that's not going to resonate with all recruits, but it's going to resonate with some recruits. And, you know, if the right ones, you know, buy into it, then I think you're going to be off and running. And that's why James Franklin is doing what he's doing right now.
Yeah. This whole student-athlete thing, I'm just tired of people trying to sell me on that deal. But I guess if you go to Vanderbilt, you're not expecting necessarily to play in the NFL, although they have their share of NFL guys, I guess. Well, maybe not their share, but they have a few guys. And a wide receiver this year and that probably has NFL expectations, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they've turned out the same linebacker prospect for like a decade now.
Okay. So you don't think any other guys on the hot seat? I think I'm with you on Mullen, and I mean everybody's expectation, I think, is that Mississippi State's going to continue sliding backwards. So I would think that if he's not on it right now, he will be by midseason.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting because you know that first game, Oklahoma State, that's a big game and one that I think you know honestly, you know, Mississippi State should struggle with, and Oklahoma State should blow them out if they get run by 14 points. Where does that send the season? Where does that send the direction of the season? It could go downhill in a hurry. And then it's still semi-backload. They still have LSU in the middle of the season now, but the back end is still pretty stout, packed with some pretty solid teams. And if they don't rebound quickly from that game, it could get ugly in a hurry.
Which new SEC coach do you expect to have the most wins at the end of the season this year?
Most wins? Probably Gus Malzahn at Auburn. 7-5, I think, is more likely than 6-6.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, somewhere in that range. And then the other two, you know, Bielema or out of the other three, Bielema and Jones, you know, I think they're Arkansas and Tennessee will be better than Auburn, but both of their schedules are significantly worse, and so record-wise, I just don't see them being there.
Yeah, how do you think that – I haven't looked at Tennessee's schedule. We know, obviously, all too well about Arkansas's. What's Tennessee looking at?
It's actually a lot like Arkansas. That road trip to Oregon in week three is the start of like a 5-game stretch where they may beat, you know, only beat South Alabama and that's it until the end of October. And so, you know, and then the second game of the year, a really tricky game against Western Kentucky and Bobby Petrino, a really veteran Western Kentucky team. That's not exactly ideal. So it's not the as bad as Arkansas's, but it's pretty close.
How many wins are you anticipating for Ole Miss? Because they're the one that's sort of an X factor to some degree. Some people are expecting them to be better. I think we've talked about this before, but something they have an anomaly to some degree in their schedule. I don't remember seeing this in recent history. 6 straight home games in the last part of the season before ending at Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. 6 straight home games. Now, admittedly, 2 of them are against A&M and LSU. I don't exactly count those as wins, but it is pretty unique to have 6 straight home games at the end of the year like that.
Unique and you know they've got to get that rough stretch that you know through late September it's tough for them but you know it's I think they're going to be a 9-win team 8 or 9-win team you know they were really close to being a 9-win team last year you know with some close losses so you know it's Ole Miss is you know I think a lot of people are thinking that they're all hype and they may be all hype but that hype is there for a reason. They've got 18 returning starters and are getting a talent injection this summer. You know there are worse things to say than they're full of hype and they're all sizzling no steak. I mean, you know they've got talent. They've proved they can win with that talent, and they're getting even more talent. So the schedule stuff, but you know they're better, and I think significantly better this year. So you know they're going to be in every game. They were in pretty much every game last year, and when you're in every game, sometimes you catch the breaks to win them, maybe they get that luck this year.
Let's hope so. So I don't care if they get it as long as it's not against Arkansas. That'd be fine. All right. And they may not need any luck against Arkansas, unfortunately. Barrett, appreciate the time. We will visit with you again in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.